night, dark and cold. I walk in the city alone in the crowd.
Islamic laws.
Every street, every store is filled with colors and smiles as before. I know clouds are hidden behind these faces. Is there anyone who has a sunny heart? I put on my headphones and play the song, which repeats the enchanting whisper. I say, why is my heart set on fire when I hear your name?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of God, welcome to another edition of the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio. And we would like to actually express our condolences sorrow and sadness for this holy month, the month of Muharram, actually, and the martyrdom of the master of the martyrs, Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, peace be upon him. Well, we're going to talk about some of the laws related to Muharram according to Ayatollah Khamenei. But before that, let's take a listen to a short biography. A little bit of background about Ayatollah Khamenei. He was born in 1939. When he began his Hawza studies, it took him 5.5 years to finish the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh. The standard time for studying the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh for an Iranian student that is not raised with the Arabic language is about 10 years. At the age of 18, he starts attending Bahthul Kharij. Bahthul Kharij, he starts it in Mashhad under Sayyid Hadi Milani. For 7 years straight, he was in Qom studying under Ayatollah Burujerdi, Imam Khomeini, the son of Ayatollah Ha'ari, who set up the Hawza in Qom, Sheikh Murtaza Ha'ari, which was one of the top figures in Qom. Then he went back to Mashhad. For 4 years, he studied Kharij under Ayatollah Milani again. Speaking to some of those who knew Ayatollah Khamenei in Iran, when the issue of the ijtihad of Ayatollah Khamenei came up, they said, "We testify that he was a mujtahid not now, but in 1337, that's in the Iranian calendar, 1337, that's the first year that he started his Bahthul Kharij. He was teaching also. He had classes, he was teaching makasas, some of the advanced classes in the Hawza, he was teaching that. 5 years before the actual movement started by Imam Khomeini, he was a mujtahid according to that testimony. And when the movement of Imam Khomeini began, he was part of it, he was politically active, but he also was involved with his studies, as we said. Up till 1347, he was actively participating in Bahthul Kharij of Ayatollah Milani in Mashhad. And after he became the supreme leader, a little while after that, because he was requested a lot to start Bahthul Kharij, he started Bahthul Kharij and he's teaching. One can very clearly testify that this man is no doubt one of the most just and adil scholars that would not, for any reason, for his children, for his family, for his personal benefit, for any party's benefit, for anything other than Allah, change his view and make a decision to go against what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said because of something like that. Back to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh, and welcome to the program.
Alaikum salam wa rahmatullah. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome.
Sheikh Jawid, since we are talking about the Islamic laws about mourning ceremonies during the month of Muharram, according to Ayatollah Khamenei's fatwas, I would like to ask you a question about the Passion Show, or what we call as the, you know, ta'ziyah or reenactment. What is view on the traditional reenactment of the martyrdom of Imam Hussein, peace be upon him, you know, which may have some positive effect on the minds of people, because they would see the historical accounts, basically, when they see it's like a show to them, you know, and they would, you know, get to know what happened to the, you know, noble families of the infallible, I mean, the Holy Prophet and you know, Imam Hussein and his members of the family.
You're right. It does have a lot of positive effect on the minds of people who go to watch these events and these programs.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people show positive reaction. They have feelings of sadness and grief. They shed tears. I have seen many
yes.
people from close. And that's why these shows or these, you know, reenactment, traditional reenactment of the martyrdom of Imam Hussein and his companions are good, because as you rightly mentioned, they acquaint people with the history of with what happened on the day of Ashura. His Eminence Grand Ayatollah Khamenei says that there is no objection or harm in such practices, provided that they are not coupled with lies, with falsehood, with exaggeration.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
what actually threatens the religion and the integrity of the religion are the false claims and the exaggerations which are made, and that's not allowed, because when you fabricate stories, then the fabrication will have its negative impact on the audience.
Mm.
So it's very much important to rely on the authentic sources, or on the sources or books which have been authored by prominent Shia scholars. There are some very good books written, and these books can be read, can be studied, in order to acquaint, especially those who play at the actors, that those who play, that the scenario should be based on the stories mentioned.
On facts,
on
historical facts.
You're
yes.
right. So reenactment programs should not actually undermine the true school of thought, the true school of the Shia, you know, thought. And all concerns must be taken into consideration, and if it is very much likely that those programs might have a negative effect, then of course they should be stopped and people should not take part in those those gatherings.
I see. Just along with the same line as you just what you said, you know, related to reliable sources, I have a question quite related and pertaining to that, you know.
Sure.
We all know that, you know, lots of or some religious organizations, you know, have their ceremonies, these commemorative gatherings for the martyrdom of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, you know. And some of the accounts which are recited in those ceremonies, in those, you know, majalis, in fact, are about how the Imam Hussein, in fact, peace be upon him, was martyred, or his, you know, friends were martyred there in the Battle of Karbala. They are not quoted, we know, some
yes.
of them, from the reliable sources, you know, and they are heard about, you know, in those majalis, but they said that maybe they heard it from other mujtahids or other scholars, let's say, all right? But when the reciters are asked about the sources of what they say, you know, sometimes they reply that, you know, Ahlul Bayt had taught us this or the same way, and that the account of the Battle of Karbala can be related, can be narrated by way of inspiration as well, and not necessarily through quotation or quoting, right?
Sure.
So the question is, can the historical events be related through inspiration? If it is not the case, what should the position of the listeners of such accounts be?
That's a good question. Recounting the events in such a way without any evidence of an authoritative account or quoting from a reliable hadith has no basis.
Mm-hmm.
It is wrong to say or to use one's imaginative faculty and to say that, okay, I have been inspired or somehow I feel that this could be the true case with the event of Ashura. It has no basis. It's wrong to use one's imaginative faculty
mm-hmm.
to narrate stories which are concocted by the individual himself.
Mm-hmm.
Even we know for sure that the event of Ashura was one of the most heart-rending events that took place in the human history, but it does not become a license for the individual, for any narrator, for any speaker, for any lecturer to make stories and to narrate to the people what is not found in any books authored by the religious authorities. It has been emphasized by the religious authorities, including His Eminence, that the narrators, the lecturers and speakers and eulogists must quote from the sources, from reliable sources. They should not add anything to the story from themselves. Otherwise, they are, it's the duty of the audience to forbidding evil and enjoining good
mm-hmm.
becomes a duty of the Muslim. Because
right.
if someone is just making lies, for mm-hmm. making false claims, then one has to either leave the gathering
mm-hmm.
or else he should go to the speaker and say, where did you say it from, and what are your references?
Mm-hmm.
It's important that the speakers should speak based on the references found on reliable references.
I see. Okay, let's take a short break and we'll be back. Don't go away. Back to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio. We are still talking about the mourning ceremonies and the laws about that, especially during the month of Muharram, according to the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. Sheikh Javid, is it permissible for a woman to be an elegy reciter in such mourning ceremonies or commemorative gatherings, if she knows that men who are non-mahram to her, in fact, would hear her voice?
Well, to be brief, His Eminence, Grand Ayatollah Khamenei, may Allah grant him long life, has said that if the fear of vile consequences exists, they should avoid doing so.
Mm.
Because women who act as an elegy reciter or as an eulogist, she might end up you know, making her voice delicate, attractive, sweet, and she might be heard by men close in the proximity of that building where she is giving an elegy.
Mm-hmm.
And so instead of doing something good or something which might earn her sawab, she might commit a sin. And if there is such wild consequences, if there is such fear that it may lead to wild consequences, of course, she should avoid doing it.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much, Sheikh Javed. Thank you, my dear audience, for listening to the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio. We leave you in Allah's care, and please pray for us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
Every breath that you did take, every step that you would make, purpose and guidance it gave, mankind's heart it reawaked. Many people did leave the first teachings received, Hussein planned to retrieve, loss of faith he perceived. Many people did leave the first teachings received, Hussein planned to retrieve, loss of faith he perceived. Guide, you would be in place of Rasul to restore the sacred bridge. Light, you would radiate in the dark and continue the message. When you passed through arid sands, met foreigners of new